Welcome to the Berwyn United Methodist Church audio podcast, where we offer a condensed version of our weekly worship experience. I'm delighted to have you join us today. In each episode, we'll share a piece of scripture, reflect on a sermon, and spend time in prayer together. Whether you're at home, in the car, or on a walk, we hope this time is nourishing for your spirit and helps you feel connected to our community of faith. Today, we'll explore the story of the disciples on the road to Emmaus. It's a journey of transformation, where grief and doubt evolve into hope and revelation. Join us as we read from the Gospel of Luke, delve into a thought-provoking sermon, and open our hearts in prayer. Let's begin with a moment of prayer.
Would you pray with me? Loving God, we give you thanks that you walk beside us. You are there even if we don't see you, even when we don't recognize you. You are speaking to our hearts, waiting for us to catch wind of who you are, to catch glimpses of what you are doing, and then having our hearts inflamed with passion because we have seen the Lord. Thank you for walking beside us. And so we ask that you walk beside us during this time of worship and during this message so that whether through me or in spite of me, our hearts would be stirred within us and we might proclaim the good news. Amen.
The lesson for today from the Gospel of Luke is this wonderful story about the road to Emmaus. So, listen, this is from Luke 24, beginning with the 13th verse. Now, on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" And he asked him, "What things?" And they replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." And then Jesus said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? And then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures." As they came near to the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, gave it to them, and then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" And that same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together, and they were saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." And then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
These unnamed disciples, or at least they start unnamed, started their journey out of Jerusalem to Emmaus, having heard rumors of what had happened, that the tomb was empty, that Jesus was raised. They had heard the rumors from the women that they had seen angels and all of this had happened. They had heard rumors from the other disciples that had gone to the tomb and found it empty. But their hearts were still weighed down by everything that they had lost. And as they're walking on this journey, we walk beside them today. For our Easter celebrations have come to a conclusion. The tomb has been empty. We sang our hallelujahs and our hosannas. And yet somehow and in some ways, our hearts are burdened by grief, by transformation, by change, by loss, by doubt. We are still walking on this journey that these two disciples went, for we have heard the rumors, we have heard the good news, but sometimes our heart is heavy. These disciples, they express honest grief. We had hoped. When they talk about Jesus, we had hoped he would be the one. We had hoped of and what he would do and how he would change the world. We had hoped that the world would be different through him. But he was crucified and died and buried. The grief that they feel is not only over the loss of their teacher and their friend, but over the loss of all of the expectations that they had on what life would be like with him. Many of you know this grief yourself, the loss of loved ones, the loss of spouses, the loss of friends at a young age or not so young. But the dreams and the hopes that you thought you would have long into life are vanished. And grief comes with that. And they are in that honest grief, and that grief is keeping them from recognizing Jesus in their midst. For the stranger walking beside them is the one that they thought they had lost. How could anyone not recognize Jesus walking beside them if they had spent so much time on such journeys in the past? How could they not, we ask? But they miss the signs. Their hearts are heavy. Jesus stays close, though. He's ready to walk beside them and help them along the way. And he is with us as well. For when we are slow to see, when we are slow of heart, we cannot see the good news in our midst. We cannot see the hope of transformation. We cannot see the truth. But Jesus offers them this rebuke. You who are slow of heart. I don't think he means it as a criticism. It's loving to stir up their hearts to say, wait a minute. Think this through. And then he goes through scripture from Moses and the prophets. All of the stories from the Old Testament that point to Christ and point to the Messiah, that he would suffer and die and rise again. He walked beside them on this journey with them not seeing him, but he didn't care. He still walked. He still journeyed. He was patient with them and opened the scriptures with them so that they could come to understand. Because faith takes time. Sometimes it's stronger, sometimes it's weaker. Usually, hopefully, it grows over time. But it's not a straight line. The journey from Jerusalem to Emmaus with the disciples walking beside Jesus was time that Jesus was willing to spend on the journey until they would come to the realization of who he was. Even though their hearts were slow and their understanding incomplete, the disciples themselves kept listening. They were listening to this stranger who they had said, "Are you the only one around that has not heard about this? How could you not know everything that's happened?" And it would have been understandable after saying that they say, "Well, who are you to tell us about who the Messiah is? You didn't even know who he was to begin with." But they didn't. On this journey with this stranger, unwrapping and opening the scriptures, they did not cut themselves off. They did not close themselves off thinking they knew everything there was to know. They did not close themselves off from learning from a stranger in their midst who was speaking the scripture and talking about the Messiah as if he knew. They kept walking, they kept listening. I imagine along the way, this is not just a one-sided conversation, though in Luke it's presented this way. I imagine the exchange between them as Jesus says, "Well, what about this passage where it talks about the suffering Messiah?" And they answer back in this deeper dive into the scriptures that they don't realize yet, but is starting to stir their hearts. Before their full faith was born later in the story, before they recognized who the risen Christ was, they stood in his midst, learned and walked the journey of faith. And then as the evening closed, as the stranger was going to move on without them, they say, "Wait a minute, it's late. Why don't you stay with us the night? Have dinner with us." Maybe it was a great distraction from the grief that they felt, that for a little while they forgot about their sadness. But no matter the reason, they open the door for the stranger to come in. They invite him in to their table, keeping him in their midst, conversing back and forth. And this is where that powerful moment, whenever I'm asked about why I love communion, why I agree with John Wesley that we should have it as often as we can, this is the passage I go to. Because in this moment, at the meal, after they had opened the scripture, after they had had those conversations, after everything that had happened on this journey, it is in that moment where Jesus picks up the bread and breaks it open that the disciples finally recognize their eyes are opened and everything changed. Their grief melted away. Their doubts and their challenges that they had faced and all of the things that they had hoped for that seemed dashed were now changed forever. The resurrection moment, the resurrection reality, the resurrected life that they had seen from and heard about in rumors from a distance now finally grabbed hold of them. Now finally was living within them, and they could not contain it. Wasn't our hearts on fire as he was opening the scripture up to us? All of the things that they thought they knew was now transformed. And all of the things that they heard on this journey finally made sense. That journey of faith that they walked along with this stranger, even having heard the scriptures, is immediately transformed and becomes apparent and makes sense. The Bible is often hard on the disciples because they never get it. They never understand. They always fail. I relate to that. They never quite get it. But in this moment, these two disciples get it. Their hearts are on fire. And rather than they had just told this stranger, who's now disappeared, to stay the night because it was too late to start journeying further, They are so kindled by this resurrection moment finally taking root that they immediately go back to tell the community what they had seen and what they experienced. What they had heard and thought of as rumors that they were caught in grief, likely themselves. They had to go back and share that resurrection moment. They had to go back and share the good news that death could not contain Jesus. If only we would find that resurrection moment for ourselves. Experience the fire that burns bright when it takes hold. And maybe you've had that in the past, and maybe life has been hard on you. And the expectations of we had hoped are setting in. And that's when we need to be open to the journey the most. Recognizing that Jesus walks beside us and does not abandon us, does not leave us to figure out it out on our own, but opens the scriptures for us as long as we are open to listen, as long as we are open to be transformed. Being slow of heart is not a failure. It's a part of the faithful journey. It's a part of recognizing that I am here, I want to be there, and for me to get from here to there, I've got to take the walk. I've got to take the journey. Jesus walks with us in our grief, in our confusion, in our inability to comprehend, in our loneliness, and in our hope. And when we stay open to Christ acting in unexpected ways, the resurrection hope grows within us. But we've got to be willing to look again. Trust the Spirit's patient work of awakening in us. Today, Christ calls us to look again and to walk forward in faith, not to be stuck in sorrow or disbelief or in ideas of what could have been or should have been. A little later in the service, we're going to sing the song, Because He Lives, We Can Face Tomorrow. And we can walk into the world bearing the good news because He lives. Some of us know what it's like to live a long time in the dark, to feel trapped by the past, unsure if real hope is possible. But today, there's a Savior calling, promising a brand new life, a resurrected life. So as we transition to our next song, which I know is new, I know is modern, let us lift up our hearts. For this is a song that calls each of us to leave the grave behind, to step into the light and remember that Christ is alive and death doesn't live here anymore. Would you pray with me? Loving God, we give you thanks first and foremost for all that you have done for us up to, through, and beyond this day, for the ways that you walk beside us, for the ways that you give us strength and hope in the face of uncertainty and despair, for the ways that you transform for the things that we had hoped for into hoping for the things that you are doing. We know that our expectations can cut us short. Our expectations of what you're going to do and how you're going to work in the world can limit our ability to see you. And so we ask that you would open our eyes to see that your work is alive in the world, that your transformation is happening in the lives of those around us, those that we love, those that we work with, and in our community and around the world. Let us see with your eyes so that we may see past the darkness of this world and the powers of this world that work against your kingdom, that cause despair and disarray, that cause hurt and harm and damage. Lift up all those who are grieving, all those who feel lost, all those who feel hopeless, all those caught in cycles of tragedy, of sin and death. You have given us a hope in the empty grave. given us a promise in resurrection, that the worst this world can throw at us cannot beat us down, for your life is within us, and your life was resurrected. Help us to live as your resurrection people, so that our hearts may be kindled in the hearing of your word and the proclaiming of it to the community. May we see this as our calling, our passion, our purpose in the world, so that all may know who you are, how much you love them, and be transformed by your love. We lift up all of the needs that lay on our hearts, all of the brokenness that breaks our hearts and we know breaks yours. Where there's a place that we can be your hands and feet in someone's life, we ask that you would show us, enable us, empower us, and convict us so that we might step forward and boldly proclaim your good news in both word and deed. Until the day when your justice rains down, where the diversity of the nations is united rather than divided, when all is done according to your will on earth as it is in heaven, help us to live as your people now. Help us to live with boldness, with excitement, with laughter, and with joy, for we know the glory that awaits, and we can taste it even here and now. So we pray for all those who are hurting, all those who are under the threat of violence, all those who are persecuted because of who they are, the color of their skin, their gender, or who they love, for all the ways the world seeks to divide us. Unite us together. We ask this all in the name of Christ, who taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Remember, just as Jesus met the disciples on their walk, he meets each of us in our daily lives through our challenges, questions, and moments of clarity. May we remain open to his presence and the resurrection hope he brings. If this message resonated with you, please share this podcast with friends or family who might also find it meaningful. We also invite you to join us for our in-person or online worship services and become a part of our community. You can learn more about who we are and how we live out our faith on our website at berwinum.org. Thank you for being with us. May God bless you and keep you until we gather again. Take care.